Coming to you from Los Angeles, California, this is Cheat Day Podcast. Hi, welcome to another episode of Cheat Day Podcast. This is Frankie. My gender pronouns are he, him, and his. I am sitting across from the always entertaining
Kristen in the house. Gender pronouns, she, her, and hers.
So we want to welcome Caesar Cummings and Calvin Wong to Cheat Day.
Yes.
Thank you very much for being here today. It's lovely to see you, and you both look lovely.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Likewise.
It's, yeah, of course.
It's an honor to be with you guys here.
Thank
you. To share a Saturday afternoon together.
Yes.
A wonderful Saturday afternoon.
And then he just came along with a ride.
No, I just can't.
So did I.
I borrowed the Uber.
He paid for the Uber. That's why he's here. No.
Yeah. I'm the sugar daddy.
Honestly.
Yes. The husband.
The husband.
Oh, yeah. No, honestly, hard. Calvin. Is always a boost of confidence wherever I go.
Yeah.
Because I need something to put my energy towards because I do suffer from social anxiety. I do suffer from, you know, depression. I do suffer from a lot of those things that would make you feel like low self-esteem mm-hmm. somewhere in public. Mm-hmm. And the way that I, through therapy, I learn you put all your focus to one, you switch your focus.
Yeah.
So if I bring him with me, I could always just focus on him. Mm. And what ends up happening is people also focus on him and he gets a lot of attention, but he doesn't like it.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I'd rather command a room than have everyone look at me.
Yeah.
So when I'm not expecting it and someone, and like everyone all of a sudden just like stares, I'm just like, ooh, I don't know what to do. I was like, then I don't say anything.
Yeah.
And then I would start sweating.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I'd be like, everybody's looking at me and now I'm sweating. And now everybody's looking at me wondering, why are you sweating? I'm just like, oh my God.
And, like, and then I'm sweating more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Exactly.
It's like, yeah, no, and then whenever he gets nervous, he just laughs a lot.
I do. I laugh maybe too much.
Yeah, he laughs a lot.
I do that too.
Yeah.
Sometimes like, it's really inappropriate. Like at work, my boss will say something and I'll be like, I'm like, oh, that was a wrongly placed laugh.
Or you do like the weird like,
Yeah.
Yeah, when I get nervous, I get very quiet.
Okay.
And then I go hide in the bathroom.
You get triggered.
Same. Okay.
Yeah, I get triggered.
You get triggered.
It works for me to calm me down.
Yeah.
That's
fair. I have a really good relationship with toilets.
Okay. Okay.
So, Kristen, let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
For those who are listening who don't know who Caesar and Calvin are, let us know who they are, mamas.
I'm going to let y'all know who Caesar and Calvin are. Featured in such digital publications as Fabu Plus and Ravishly, the name Caesar Cummings is quickly becoming synonymous with the three Fs: fabulous, fearless, and fierce. The self-proclaimed fat fashion designer always makes a colorful splash with his partner in crime in life, Calvin. If whimsy is the name of the game, then Caesar Cummings is more likely the winner.
Aww. That was epic.
That yes!
was
wonderful.
That was that. Yeah, you hit every nail.
Wait, are we allowed to curse? It's curse.
Yes, yes.
Okay, great.
Yes, we're allowed
that
to curse.
That was perfect. That was wonderful.
I was like, I'm wow, not speaking as much as I can.
Yes, well, you know, we want to introduce you to the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Introduce you guys to the listeners.
And you'll deserve lovely. Epic. Yeah,
and then, see, now I got to post that on like everything.
Yeah. We'll send you the copy.
Yeah. Oh, you guys forgot? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm joking. No.
There's a few more Fs.
No. That was my version of three Fs are fierce, fat, and fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh.
Those are my triple F, and I call it my triple F threat.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So now I'm going to have to go and print t-shirts before someone else gets to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trademark that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my hashtag.
I know a guy.
Yeah. That's my hashtag, girl.
Okay.
That is awesome. Fabulous.
You got to do it with and the sexy was operator like, voice whenever you say it. You
I was
be
getting
like,
nervous. I'm like, how should be in my mind?
We already have t-shirts made.
Exactly. Heck, here they are.
So we got the merch already.
No, honestly, we just got came up with that. We didn't know that.
That was incredible. Yeah. I have a triple F and, I've been identifying with Fierce, Fat, and Fabulous for a while now.
Wow.
And I've been just keeping it like a secret.
Yeah.
And holding on to it.
Yeah. Well, now everybody knows.
Let's now everybody knows. Now everybody
knows. So y'all heard it first.
It's already trademarked. It's already trademarked.
Don't try it. Don't be trying it now.
Yeah, so Caesar Cummings is a fashion designer, as we all know. And then Calvin, you... Something, because, you know, we've been stalking your Instagram a little bit, both of you.
Yes.
So you refer to yourself as a soft daddy?
Yes, I am very much a soft daddy.
Please explain.
Like, I'm not very harsh. I'm not a very harsh, like, hard daddy, you know, with the leather hats and everything. I'm just like, soft. Like, I'll hold you and, you know, tell you it's going to be okay.
And, like, feathers. Like, feathers.
Yeah, and feathers and, like, very colorful.
He's like a daddy in pastel.
Yeah, a daddy in pastel. There we go.
Yeah, does that make sense?
Pastel daddy.
Yes. He's a soft daddy.
Totally.
So it's the idea of identifying with, like, a daddy.
Yeah.
But being, like, the femme version of a daddy.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I have dad bod, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I identify with being a butch queen.
Okay.
So I love being, obviously, like, butch. I love the facial hair.
Yeah.
You know, I love having the dark hair.
Yeah.
I have a bad attitude most of the time.
Okay.
I'm mean. You know, I have a short temper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I identify with being butch. But, darling, I am a queen.
Well, the queen's kind of, you know, she's like off with your head, kind of.
Yeah, very Marie Antoinette.
Okay.
I love it.
And so, and I used to think, and eat that cake, girl. Eat the cakes.
Eat the cake.
I used to think back then, people would call me a queen. I thought it was an insult.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh no, they're just recognizing royalty.
Ooh.
That's call me a queen one more time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yes.
Call me a queen three times in a row, see what happens.
That is so, power.
Yeah.
The magic appears.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you see it now. So every insult anyone's ever told you, use it as a positive affirmation, and it's a tool to inspire you to switch the focus and focus on something positive about it.
Right.
You know, we've all been called the F word. We've all been called fat.
Right.
And the other one as well.
I mean, that's true, but
yeah, I didn't think about that one.
I don't think fat is an insult to me anymore.
Mm. Right.
Because we hold the definition to these terms. You know, I was 27 the first time that I broke down and cried in front of a mirror, took my clothes off, and I told myself, why do I identify with the things that people call me? Why do I allow them to hurt me? Mm. It doesn't make any sense why they have more power over how they view me than I view myself.
Right.
And that was the first time that I realized I'm not what these people are subcategorizing me as or labeling me as. I'm not those things. And I decided I'm going to use those negative terms and turn them into something positive. And I think that's something that we all need to check and realize. You don't have to take the full insult. Just take a piece of it, you know, take a slice of it, take a bite of it and turn it into whatever you want.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also, we're not alive and we're not living to please other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one misconception of living in, especially in this state, but just living, is that we are here to please others and we're not. We're here for one mission for us to live is our lives, live our story, deal with our challenges and prevail and have amazing memories to look back on as children, as adults, as, you know, older adults.
Right.
And let our kids know and let all of our families know that we went through the same thing back then, mm-hmm. but that's how we exceeded that challenge, or that's how we overcame that obstacle. And that's our life mission, mm-hmm. is try to find happiness. And every day I try to chase happiness.
Yeah.
And I think my clothing has helped me do that, because my clothing is my armor.
Right.
And if you're not feeling your most confident, if you're not feeling beautiful, if you're not feeling attractive, you know, change what you're wearing and speak to yourself in the mirror and use a positive affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what they are, look them up, you know, or take all the good compliments everyone's ever used to, you know, to describe you, what you're wearing or what you look like, and write those in a note, piece of paper, and post them on your mirror.
Yeah.
And every day talk to yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that I've suffered from depression and anxiety. And I do see a therapist regularly now, and I have been seeing a professional for the past 2 years,
mm-hmm.
which is how the journey of me designing has come together. Because back then, I used to beat myself up. The demons are still there, but they're in a vault now. It's a big, shiny vault. You know, it's covered with glitter and gems. And I don't have to open it, but to put some of those demons away when I need to.
Right.
But yeah, I learned a lot. I'm seeing a professional, you know, a therapist and a psychologist. And I learned a lot about myself, that it's okay to address those issues. It's okay to talk to a professional about them. And it's okay to sort them out. And the things that were making me happy are the things that I was beating myself up about, not being a designer yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or not putting out product yet. Not having any money. How do I get started? You know, who's going to buy my clothes? Who's going to want it? I used to beat myself up all the time. And Calvin was there for all of it.
Yeah.
And we've been together for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this was never supposed to happen.
Never.
We were attracted to each other. We met 6 years ago. And this was never in our cards, and it just happened when it happened because the timing was right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I never liked you. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, this was never supposed to be this.
I mean, do you guys want to hear how we met?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll let him talk too. So
do you want to tell him how we met?
Yeah.
So we met on a gay dating app called Growler, which is, if no one knows what that is.
I know it.
I was Mr.
For the gay bears.
Yeah, it's for the gay bears.
For the bears.
Yeah.
Well, it's for the bears. Well, it's for the bear chasers, the leather daddies, the muscle daddies.
You know, okay.
It's not just for the bears. I mean, it's for like a big, it's for everyone that doesn't fit that
grinder
category.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're not a twink or correct. If you're not
white.
Yeah.
Then that's true too.
You go out. Yeah. You will fit perfectly fine in Grindr.
I mean, like, yeah. I was like, can we?
So if you're a person of color, jump on the bandwagon, ladies. That's where.
I was like, and it's really gotten way better since. I feel like we're doing a Growler advertisement now.
Yeah.
Anyway. Growler wants to sponsor us.
Right.
Yeah. Like Growler, when I sponsor
us, like, reach out. We'll take it.
Like, we'll take it.
Soft Daddy's here for you. But yeah, so we met on there, and we were both, I mean, we've been around the block. It was like we were both kind of very popular.
Okay.
And I was very sweet. I would be the nice, you know, the nice little whore or whatever, slut. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. I was like, and Caesar also, but he was like the mean one. So he was like the mean one. I was like the good witch. He was like the bad witch.
Okay.
It's still like that in our relationship. I'm still the bad bitch.
You're still the bad bitch. I'm the good bitch.
And he's still the nice bitch.
So, and he hit me up the first time. And I remember we were talking and I got so offended because instead of calling me Calvin, because it's Calvin with a K, he called me Kevin.
Oh.
And so I was so offended because I was like, we're chatting. It's like, you can go up, you can scroll.
But like Calvin failed to realize that I was Mr. April that year, okay. And bitch was popular.
Well, I was like, if he that popular, he don't need me.
I wasn't going to spend all $3.99 for the premium of the app.
Oh, you guys were serious.
We were serious.
Damn.
And so I didn't have any more space. I didn't have any more memory.
Yeah.
So I had to go back and delete conversations and photos and all that stuff to be able to make more room for all the newcomers.
For Kevin.
Yeah.
It was like for Kevin. For Kevin.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, if you can't remember my name, honey, we don't need to be talking.
So he blocked me.
So I blocked him.
I blocked him.
I was like.
But he wasn't attracted to me. He just thought I was cute.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
No, I did think you were cute. I thought you were very like.
Because I'm a Latino. That's why he thought I was cute.
I like Latin.
But I thought he was cute too because he was brown.
Yeah.
And I love brown skin.
Yeah.
I mean, I love all skin types.
Yeah.
But
I'm not picky, to be honest.
Okay.
I am not picky.
Equal opportunity. I mean,
yeah, I'm not going to
equal opportunist.
Yes. Exactly. I'm all about being an equal opportunist. However.
But, you know, I mean.
Yeah, so.
Okay, we thought each other was cute.
We thought we were good looking, but we didn't get along, so he blocked me. And I'm like, okay, bye. So then
you got kicked off
that web, the app.
You got kicked off Growler.
How do you manage to do that?
I don't know how.
Like, I got kicked off.
I blocked him for a reason.
And it's not my first time getting kicked off of apps either.
Okay.
I got kicked off because I guess I pissed off too many people and they reported me.
Oh.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
when someone offers you, do you want to be in a gangbang video, and have you be the center, you know, the center of attention? And I'm like, no.
Mm.
And I pissed them off. They're like, well, we're meeting this week, and I'm like, no. I don't want to do that.
So like a meetup type thing?
Yeah.
Like meetup.com?
Yeah, like no.
You're going to be the center of attention, just so you know.
You were like, I don't know. Like things like that.
And yeah. I would always respond in a not so kind way.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and I would piss a lot of people off.
Okay.
And I thought that was perfectly okay. But I guess it wasn't.
Okay.
See, I'm not the only person that blocked you. I'm telling you.
1 year later, after meeting Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Well...
His name is Calvin, just so everybody knows.
Yeah. It's not Calvin.
We're joking. Everybody.
Yeah, Kevin, I offended him for calling him Kevin.
Yeah.
Mind you, Kevin and Calvin are very similar.
They are. They're both.
Just like I get called this a lot. My name's Caesar, but I get called Oscar a lot. Oh. And I take it. I'm like, okay yeah, close enough.
You're in the neighborhood.
But I get Carlos too, and I still take it. I still take it because I know that not everyone that I've like met knows me yet. Or they know that my name is Caesar. And that's perfectly fine.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to correct them right away and get offended. I don't.
Right.
I don't get offended easily anymore.
Yeah.
So I'll take it. And teachers call me Carlos sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And I respond to them. They're like, people are like, but your name's Caesar. I'm like, yeah, but you know, the name starts with a C. It's also a Latino name. I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to, you know, sit there and, like, give them a lecture of, like, nah, why I'm my name block isn't the teacher Carlos. Too. Right. No, like, no, 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 it's fine. But if they were to call me something else, I'd be like, yo, that's not my name. But if it's somewhere ballpark near, I'll take it.
You'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get called Christy.
Right. I was going to say
Christian. Yeah. Christina. Chris. Yeah. Grandma calls me Chris. But
does it offend you? Do you get offended by it?
No, and I usually just take it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's close enough.
I'm Christy. Whatever. It's fine.
Yeah, we're good.
I think it depends on who it is, you know? But if people ask, like, what's your name? Like, that's my thing. Like, I always forget names. So I just ask. I'm like, please remind me of your name.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so going back to
Kevin. So
one year after offending him and getting blocked, and then I got kicked off, I re-downloaded the app, and
they forgot, I guess.
No, because I had to get a new phone and everything.
That's why. Okay. That's
right. So I got the app again.
Joan just camera that shit.
Yeah. I was like, ain't no one blocking my action. And so I jumped on it again. And now, mind you, dating apps is not easy.
No, it's not easy.
It's hard to communicate with people. Not everyone's mature. Not everyone's out. Not everyone's open. Not everyone identifies with who they are.
Mm-hmm. Not everyone's mature
and
either.
Everybody is on these apps for two reasons. Mm. The first reason is human contact and communication, mm-hmm. you know, and the second one's to hook up.
Absolutely.
You know, and I know I used to use it to communicate with people. When I felt really awful about myself.
I mean, yeah.
And then I was a good-looking guy. I mean, still am. And so getting all that positive, you know, compliments would really, like, pep me up.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
So it was nice to get compliments every once in a while.
Yeah.
And so I re-downloaded the app, and then he popped up.
Yeah, I think I reached out to you first.
You did?
Yeah, because your name was, like, Naughty Bear.
Yeah.
It was Naughty Bear, and I had a video game at the time called Naughty Bear, and I was like, oh, he cultured in video games. I like him.
And it was had nothing to do with video games.
Nothing to do with video
games. I was just really naughty.
I read it wrong.
And yeah, and I'm a Care Bear, so I'm like, okay, I'm Naughty Bear. And he contacted me. I was off that day, so I'm like, let's hang out. So we went to go hang out.
No, we didn't hang out that same day. You were off the next day.
The next day, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was the, I think.
Because the same night we talked, we started out trying to out-hoe each other with stories.
Right. And so, yeah, that's what we did. And we found out later that a lot of the people that we were both sharing our tales with crossed over.
They overlapped. We had overlapped.
Yeah, they overlapped a lot. Oh, and, wow. Yeah, and he was, again, the nice bitch, and I was the mean bitch.
Okay.
And he didn't have to ask for anything. He just got it.
They just gave it to me.
But I was a little older, 7 years older, so I had to, like, demand it, and I would get what I wanted.
I was young.
Yeah, you were young.
Young and vibrant.
Yeah, you still are.
Just a baby.
You still are.
Just a little baby.
Just out there trying to be innocent, but not really.
You
out there in
are.
The streets.
Yeah.
In disguise.
I can't say that about myself.
No, I was definitely.
I'm experienced. I know what I like. I know what I want. Give it to me now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you wouldn't give it to me, I mean, I remember going on like 3 dates the same night.
Okay.
Because I wasn't fulfilled.
Wow. I don't know about going on 3 dates in the same night. I might go on 2. One in the daytime, one in the nighttime,
it was
but not
bad.
3.
Like, I used to invite 3.
Well, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
I was thinking that right then.
Midnight snack.
Yeah. Of course.
You know what I mean? Like,
I was crazy. I was crazy. I could always make time for a snack.
There's always.
Who doesn't love a good snack?
I mean, come on.
A little treat.
A little treat.
A little pick me
but
up.
All that's changed.
Oh, that has changed.
All that's
reformed.
Yeah,
now.
That has changed. That
we
has
both
changed.
Have reformed. We're okay. both. We're both have reformed now.
Yeah. I'm definitely.
And that's how we met. That's how we met. Okay. We hung out the very next day.
Yeah, we were supposed to just be friends. We were supposed to make a brotherhood of gay men.
Okay.
To just hang out and not have sex.
Because
with each other.
I was
that was the
really
thing.
Jealous that my brothers, my heterosexual brothers, I have two brothers.
Okay.
They have their homeboys and they have their friends and their bros. Yeah.
Right.
And they have such a fun relationship.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have that with my queer, you know, people of color. And that doesn't really exist because of, I think, because of jealousy, you know, criticism.
Yeah.
Comparing yourself to
but
the people
so toxic.
But we do
have that now. We do have it now.
We have it now. But we have a lot of straight male friends.
Which is odd.
Okay.
Well, it's not odd, but you don't think that. Yeah.
No, but we do have a lot of straight male friends that we love. And they say they love us all the time. And it's so great because I'm like, I finally got what I wanted.
Yeah.
You got your bros. Like,
yeah.
I
got bros now.
Yeah.
And it's so great because I never thought I would ever have that relationship with men, heterosexual men. Because growing up, I was, you know, I always saw them in a bad light because I did come from a background where my father was very verbally abusive and he was physically abusive to my mother and us. So I grew up hating men, which is how I became a feminist.
Wow.
Yeah. And which is how, why I would always stand up for women, and I identified being more of a female.
Right.
And I didn't know back then that it's okay to be gender fluid. So growing up, I thought I wanted to transgender because I felt, because of my religious background, my parents being really religious, they're like, no, you're a man, you have to live like a man. But I'm like, I don't identify with a man.
Right.
So maybe I need to, I want to be a woman. So I was really soul searching and like trying to get to myself better. And growing up, you know, being full of rage and anger, not really identifying with my family or my heritage. I was a runaway kid. I lived on the streets. I ended up, my grandmother ended up opening up her house for me. So I ended up staying with her. We have a very close relationship between she and I. And he has a similar story. So does he.
Yeah, very similar story. Both my parents were ministers, so it was like kind of hard.
Oh.
So I was like that church kid. I was a preacher's kid, but I was bad. It's just no one knew I was bad. I kept it under wraps.
And I was just full of anger. And I couldn't be home because it was just so toxic because they did not understand me. Mm-hmm. And I had an awful relationship with my parents. And that's changed now. Because I've grown up, but they've also have opened up their minds and their hearts to having, you know, a gay son, a queer son, and me having a partner that isn't Latino. Like, it's everything around us happened so quickly.
And it happened and so naturally.
Yes, yeah, so organically. And I'm like, why is this working out? Is this what a relationship is? Is this what a real relationship is? I mean, it we're not feels fighting. Like this? I'm not getting left in silver like at 2 in the morning. After
a healthy
arguing.
Relationship. Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea. No idea. You know, and I have a theory that dating the first few years of your life, it's going to be awful. And the reason why it's awful is because you're getting to learn yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And know yourself and what you're being able to put up with, what you want to deal with. And you need to date a lot of people to really get to find out who you really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the things you want to deal with. And the things that make you tick and the things that make you happy, and you learn a lot of things that make you very unhappy.
And the things that are important to you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right? Like your priorities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or and dreams or like concerns or things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. And it's okay to have completely different interests. Yeah. Or it's okay to have different likes, you know, as long as you respect each other and there's you can constantly communicate.
Yeah.
I think that's honestly the way that relationships work. You have to be a friend first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before you can become a lover.
Because and the I friendship always say, is going to help your relationship keep going.
Right. And I tell all my girlfriends, you want a perfect relationship? You want to have what Calvin and I had? Stop dating people you're attracted to. Stop dating people that you want to sleep with.
That's an
because
interesting
Because that's
so yeah. interesting. Like I,
that is.
Because me and Calvin, we never were sexually interested in each other.
No, I was like, I mean, I thought he was good looking. Don't get
me
wrong.
Me too, but I didn't want to like have that type of relationship
I didn't
with
hit you up
and
was like, where'd I do?
No. No, not at all.
Where that D at?
Where the D at?
And it was never like that.
It was never like that. That's never been our relationship.
And I had respect for him, and we shared something in common. It was European pop music.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a couple of friends that are European pop artists. Some of them are well-known, some of them are not. And he knew who they were.
Yeah.
So that's honestly how we bridged our friendship. And that's how we kept... You know,
yeah, and we had a shared love for Kesha, too.
We did. Yeah,
we had a shared love for Kesha.
Honestly, Kesha and Lady Gaga played a really big role in our relationship.
Yeah, they did actually
because we would write each other in memes.
Oh
forms,
my god, I
different
forgot about
lyrics
that.
To different songs, and we would go back and forth that way
right. with emojis.
With
it was
emojis,
like, it was
with
like
emojis.
Little emojis. They would like write
emojis.
Each other,
and then we would also I would find. You know, like late at night, we would find slang from different decades and we would text each other these different slang words. And I thought it was so great. So I think that's the way healthy relationships work best is by not having those sexual desires and by being able to communicate.
Well, and then just getting someone you can be a dork with.
Being transparent Absolutely. With each other because he at first was not transparent at all. He did not know how to take this information I was giving him. He thought it was like way too much for him to handle.
I mean, we were kind of rough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still rough. I'm very aggressive. I'm a very aggressive butch queen.
Yeah.
Butch queen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Calvin
soft daddy.
Is,
Take charge.
Soft yeah, daddy, Calvin's a soft queen. Daddy. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And he's a Libra and I'm a Leo, so it worked out. My sister, which was my best friend growing up, is also a Libra. And very supportive, very loving, very kind, was always there for me. In middle school, they used to call me Sister Hangaround. because they thought I was hanging out with her way too much.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? She's my best friend, though. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, you know?
Yeah.
And so dating Calvin is like, not dating my sister. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm saying
we got
both,
you.
Yeah, they're both a similar sign. And it feels very comfortable to be mm-hmm. able to open up to him and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's how we met.
Yeah.
And here we are 5 years later.
Power couple.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that's our aspiration, to just be that queer
power couple. I've always wanted to look up to a queer power couple.
Mm.
And right now we don't have many of those in the POC community.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we don't. So if our relationship could inspire people to be open, vivid, honest, good people to each other,
There could be a lot of worse things.
There could be a lot of worse things. And that's what we're here for, you know.
Yeah.
We've been through a lot of things together that you would never think we would work out, but we have.
I know, yeah. We've gotten through a lot of, like...
You know, like, I got fired from work a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I was supporting us.
And then, I didn't have a job, and then you had the job, and then...
That didn't work out, and then...
And then we both had a job.
Yeah, and then that didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he works full-time, and I'm in school full-time.
Yeah.
To perfect my confidence as a designer.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's all working out. It all mm-hmm. works out.
Yeah. So definitely. Through ups and downs, but it's because support each other.
We're supporting each other.
Yeah.
It's like, no matter what,
The one thing that I did instill in Calvin when we first met, by the way, his name is not Calvin.
Oh, here we go.
That's his middle name.
Here we go.
Okay.
His first name is Kimberly. It's Kimberly with no B. Kimberly.
Kimberly.
Yeah, okay. Kimberly.
And his last name's Wong, which is why his handle, his username is Kim Cal Wong.
Yeah, so it's Kimberly.
Oh, isn't
that Kimberly
cool?
Calvin
yeah.
Wong.
And I thought that was so fascinating that he had such a fluid name.
Yeah.
But he hated it growing up because kids were making fun of him.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I hated it. That's like putting a target on your back.
Yeah, I can see that.
I was like,
it's such a beautiful name.
It is.
I mean,
and it's
also
very misleading.
For a strong, confident adult,
for an adult, I'm
like,
good.
You know.
I'm good now. I'm like, yeah.
But here's the best part about it. Whenever people call him, they're always looking for Miss Kimberly Wong.
Yeah, they're looking for a little Asian lady.
I'd be like, speaking.
Yeah,
I've done that.
No, and it happens all the time.
I've gotten calls, and they're like, can I talk to Miss Wong? I'm like, all right, this is she.
Or I'm
I'm like, this is she.
I'm such an asshole. We'll go to the market.
Oh, Lord.
And when we're checking out, I love making people uncomfortable.
Mm.
I'll tell the cashier, I'm like, oh, you're not going to ask for ID, right? She's like, why? I'm like, oh, because we just jacked this card from some old lady. And they're like, why? I'm like, yeah, we just found her wallet, so we're going to go shopping.
And I'm sitting there looking like a dumb person because I'm sitting there just like, oh, yeah, here's my card. I didn't realize this conversation
was going
on.
And then they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, you're not going to card us, right? Like, we're cool. We're good. We got each other. I'm like, want me to pull out cash? I'll give you 20. And they're just like, are you serious? Is this really happening? They get so embarrassed and they get so uncomfortable.
And they're like, I need to see ID. And I'm like, okay.
And then Calvin pulls his ID out. Mm. And I'm like, bam, bitch, you racist. You know, I'm like, how dare you? And they get so pissed off or they get so relieved. And I think it's so funny because I love, you know, making people the butt of the joke.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's like amazing that I get to go to different places and people expect some little Asian lady. And it's like, no, 6 foot tall black man.
I love it.
Yeah. So if y'all out there, if y'all POC queers and y'all want to give your baby names, name them an Asian woman's name and they will always get hired.
I mean, I do get hired everywhere.
Calvin gets calls back.
Like
call back
all the interviews.
I get all the interviews. I get
all
the interviews.
All
the interviews in the world.
Oh my God.
All of them.
And I'm like, dang. I was like, she works everywhere. She worked at Staples.
Mind you, he has very great work ethics, right? And he's really smart.
She worked in taxes.
The name helps. The name helps because people still stereotype us like physically when they see us. But if they see a Kimberly Wong, you know, on that application or resume, they want to call her first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do get called back all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, it's always like a thing. They're just like, oh, Miss Kimberly Wong. And I'm like, oh, this is he.
Even when we go to the doctor too, it's my favorite. They never expect a big old black man to stand up.
I know, they're just like, sit down. Like, we're talking about the Asian. I'm like, no, I am the Asian woman. This is it.
I am here.
I'm here.
No, we're both queer, so we both identify with both genders. We're not,
It's fine. Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. We're like, hey, girl, or like, what's up, honey? Like, there's no really gender, like, restriction in our relationship.
I mean, we call each other girl all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
We're like, girl, you need to get your life.
Yeah.
Same with me and my husband.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a straight, cisgender, white man. Yeah. And we're always like, girl.
It's a thing.
Girl.
It's like,
and it's
girl is such a powerful thing. It's like, girl.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Even does it at work.
I do it at
work. I do it so much around him. He does it at work.
Yeah. I have to stop because I know I do it to my straight core because I'm like, girl. And I'm like, wait, I'm sorry. And they're just like, no, but they get it. They're like, oh, no, I get it. That was a girl moment. And I'm like, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I feel like girl has become the new, are you serious?
Right.
You know? Girl.
Well, it has different, you can use it for
that.
It has
different levels. Things too. There's levels to girl.
Like, I'm going to give you some tea, like, girl.
Again, a serious tone, yeah.
Yeah, the serious tone.
Like, girl. Tone.
Girl.
Yeah, it's also serious, but it's quicker. Yeah. Correct. So that's how I love.
It's like, listen up.
It's
like,
I got tea. Listen up, or like, open your ear up, or like, hey, girl.
Or you need to stop.
About to spill the tea.
Oh, yeah. Or you need to girls stop. Also, like, knock it off.
It can mean many things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what's so amazing about a lot of code switching, and we do that a lot.
Oh yeah, code switching is a big thing.
We code switch a lot. He code switches a lot with his mother.
Oh yeah,
my mom. She's from Louisiana, and she has a Louisianian accent, and he just talks to his mom and his grandmother.
Accent, yeah, and so
southern accent, yeah, southern accent.
Yeah, and so they like say all kinds of things. He's just like, "What does that mean?" You know, I'm like, "Oh, it just means this."
I have no idea.
It was like, "Bless your heart." What was my favorite one? Like, "Devil was a lie." Like, "The devil is a lie."
Well, those are the what did you call them?
They're like sweet ways of saying like, oh, like, you know, that can't be right. Or like, and you know, this is not what we're doing. And I love these little southern
phrases. They're so good. Yeah. They're so good.
Or bless your heart.
Oh God, bless your heart. That one, it's my favorite insult. Indirect, they're indirect.
Yeah, because in the South, you're supposed to be sweet. You're not supposed to be like, you know.
Because of southern hospitality. Yeah, yeah. So they're indirect backhanded compliments is what they are.
It's shade.
And those are my favorite because it's
shade. We love shade.
It's the art of shade.
Yeah, the art of shade.
The art of shade. Southern people know it the best. Like, Southern old ladies know it the best. My grandma knew it the best. She was everything.
R.I.P.
like,
Granny.
She would always like sit there and like give the most shade. And you'll never know it. Like, you'll leave the house and be like, she was talking about me.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute.
That shit.
Like, yeah. You're like, Granny?
Which is why I love black women when they throw shade. They get sassy or they want to keep it 100. I'm like, keep it coming, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. Because they're very vivid.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Very vivid. And I'm the same way too.
Yeah.
You should be vivid about how you feel. Everyone's emotions and feelings are valid.
Yeah.
As long as you're not hurting yourself or anybody.
Right.
Yeah. It shouldn't come from a place of hate.
No, it shouldn't.
Correct.
Come from a place of love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell me anything you want to tell me. It's like, if it's coming from a place of love, I can feel it. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I was being a little evil.
Yeah.
It's like, right. I may have been being a little, you know, bitchy.
Hmm. Yeah. And yeah, that's how we get along. And that's, I feel like, the most important part about dating somebody is being able to communicate.
Yeah.
Having fun. But have it to be a positive experience as well.
And don't take it too seriously.
Yeah.
Stop being so serious all the dang time.
Yeah, we don't have gender roles, so we don't have that. None of that applies to us.
Yeah.
And I encourage him to find his identity more.
Yeah.
I encourage him to wear, you know, women's clothing. I encourage him to wear wigs. I encourage him to wear makeup. I encourage him to have fun and not hold himself back because we only live once.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be younger for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But that's such a big deal. Older. Like, you're just like, you get so bent out of shape, but you're just like, oh, well, this is what society tells me. Like, I should be like this way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when
you
get out of that box, you're like, oh my God, there's so many crayons in this box. I like, know. I can just like.
And it can be so much fun.
Yeah. It's like, I can just wear whatever I want and be like, whatever. I can just still be me and people like me no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's also, that's how I feel about clothing. And, you know, I feel like you can be whoever you want every day. You don't have to stick to one specific look or one specific, like, you know, identity. Do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
I was a club kid before, which is why my stuff is so sparkly and colorful and fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My name was Lady Orgasmic.
Oh.
Yes, yeah. Lady Orgasmic.
Yeah. And so back then, I would go to the dollar store and spend like $25 mm-hmm. on party supplies and then turn out a look.
Okay.
I'm a very resourceful queen.
I love it.
Yeah, I would turn out a look. And every single time, the cameras came flashing after me. And I love that feeling.
Yeah.
I live for it.
Yes.
So that's where I think that kind of like niche comes from,
mm-hmm.
you know, making something out of nothing.
Right.
And having that theater background in high school, I was in theater and I never wanted to be an actor. I have stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be in the spotlight for acting.
Mm-hmm.
But for looks, for everything else, hi, I'm here. Hire me.
In the room, taking up space.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Exactly. I'm here for that.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah. It's like Caesar's so afraid of being like seen on a stage. And I'm like, put me on a stage. Give me the microphone. I can do this.
Yeah.
He loves it. And he's amazing at it.
I love karaoke. Mm. I love like all that stuff. Like, it's all fun.
He loves to sing. And it's so beautiful. Like, one of the first few gifts he would give me were like poems that he would write or songs that he would write for me. Or even him recording like his version of a song.
Oh my
and
God.
He would gift me that
That's
stuff.
So embarrassing.
Oh,
and it's really sweet. I think it's adorable and it's sweet. Yeah. And it comes from like a place of love.
Yeah.
But to me, I'd rather like 2-3 yards of sequin fabric as a gift.
I've learned that now. I've gotten better at giving gifts now.
No, he really has. I mean,
I've gotten good.
But it took him 5 years.
It took him about 4.
And I'm very generous. I have a very generous heart.
Yeah.
And when someone says, oh, I'm missing this or I don't have that, well, guess what you're getting for your birthday, or guess what you're getting as a gift? You're missing.
That's Frankie to the T. He's so generous with like gifting. He got me these beautiful earrings from Zara.
Ooh.
Gold palm trees.
Oh, that's beautiful. So
and then like these geometric, like black dangly earrings with like blocked out rainbow.
That's so cute.
I'm so sick. So sick. He's just so good with gifts.
That sounds like yeah, my aesthetic.
I suck, but he's amazing.
I know, exactly. I'm like, Caesar's the gift giver.
I love buying for people.
Yeah, me too. It makes me feel amazing to give. You know? Especially when you get to know people around you. And you know what they like.
Exactly.
I'm always thinking about everyone else. I don't think about myself all the time.
Yeah.
I'm very selfless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not selfish, but when it comes time for me to like have downtime and work on things for myself, I can be very selfish. I won't talk to the world.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I take downtime. I have to restore my energy. Mm-hmm. I'll work on projects, and I will just sew like a mad woman. Like I feel like I need to make 12 shorts for this summer, and I did.
Oh, she's crazy when she starts sewing.
Yeah. Once dangerous. I'm on the machine, I can't get off of it.
Right.
Mm. She's so dangerous.
Like in the zone.
In the zone.
It's like I open the door to come from work. I'm like, are you sewing? Are you? Can I come in?
I can't talk. I'm like, don't talk to me. Leave me alone.
I'm like, okay, I'm just close
the door.
Be back
later.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna
just hide.
When I'm 80% done, I'll go and show him like, what do you think of all of these? And he's like, they're too short. And I'm like, perfect. They're perfect.
He's like, they're not short enough, Calvin.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've learned that now. I was like, it can never be short enough.
Yeah. I have really nice legs. So that's the thing about being plus size. Let's get into like fit, you know, and silhouettes and clothes and all that. Mm-hmm. So the thing about being plus size doesn't mean that you should cover your body with more fabric. It's not about covering. It's about highlighting your assets. It's about dressing in a perfect silhouette that works for you. And if you're going to wear that silhouette for the rest of your life, that's totally great. Just get it in every color, every print, every pattern, and right into the wheels fall off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's going to make you look good and feel good, keep it going. Don't change a thing.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And so I have nice legs.
Yeah.
So if you have nice legs, show them babies off.
Okay.
You know, if you have beautiful bosoms, show them bosoms off.
Mm-hmm. Show off the girls.
Get deep necklines.
Or the boys, I guess.
If you have nice arms, hello, cut those sleeves off. Mm-hmm. We don't need extra fabric. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, there's different types of plus size body shapes, and I try to design as much as I can. Honestly, I design for myself, but everybody else likes it.
Yeah.
And most of the time when I design for myself, because I am a stockier man and I do have upper body weight more than lower body weight, everything I make kind of works for my shape. And so I feel like a lot of those plus size bodies fall under that umbrella.
Yeah.
And it works for most of them. And everybody loves it. And I'm so fortunate and so lucky that I get to, you know, perfect my craft. And like I said, I'm going back to school to become even more professional and also like build the confidence that I didn't have before that I was battling with when I had my depression and anxiety. And when I was at home doing nothing for 2 years, just dark and really dark.
I mean, you
weren't
doing nothing.
I wasn't doing anything.
You were like taking care of the house. And
I was very unhappy.
Which I never do.
I was very unhappy because I felt like I wasn't living my true sparkle.
Right.
And when I got professional help and I saw a therapist and started taking medication for it and learning how to use positive affirmations and how to be grounded, practicing all those things that you learn in therapy. And then I was switching my focus and we decided what's going to make me happy. And I'm like, well, I want to become a designer. I want to design. You know, I've always wanted to design. I've always wanted to make clothing, and I want to share it with the world. I don't want to just make it for myself. I want to share with the world what I have to offer. And so my therapist said, okay, what's the first step? And I said, I don't know. She's like, we'll figure it out, and then we'll talk about it next session. So I went home, and I wrote down what the first step was to start a brand, and it was to come up with the name. And then I got business cards made with my information on them with that name. And then I got labels made. And getting the labels made was like a really big milestone for me. Because I never thought I would ever, in a million years, get my name, you know, on a label that I can slap on a garment.
Right.
Never. After years and years of sewing. So that was a huge milestone. And I cried when they finally came in because I never thought that that would ever happen for me in a million years. And I got those labels in and I'm like, wow, now it's time to really make something right? to sell.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, and yeah. really put this together. And so the first thing I did was I made these chiffon scarves. And I wear scarves all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's great because these scarves aren't, they're not, there's no size restriction. There's yeah. no gender restriction. It's a scarf that you can accessorize anywhere. You can put it in your hair. You can wrap it as a bandana. You
back
can
wear pocket. It on your neck.
Yeah. Back pocket. Wrist. Mm-hmm. You can wipe your sweat with it. You know? It's multi-purpose.
It's multi-purpose. It's
it is. Functional. And you can wear it any way. You know, you could wear it in your handbag. You can tie it around your pant, whatever you want. Whatever way you want to style it, it's there. And I started off with really, really feminine colors because I wanted everyone to identify with like the pastel tones. And I went from that to my mom giving me $1,000 to start my brand because she saw how good I was doing in therapy and how I wasn't really angry or my demons were really like, I wasn't really carrying them wherever I went.
Right.
So she's like, I'm going to give you $1,000 and I want you to take this money and start creating pieces. And if that's going to make you happy. And so it did. You know, she gave me in fragments, of course. I got in fragments and I went to the fashion district and I found a few different fabrics. The very first fabric I found was ice cream cones. And it was this really, really lightweight stretchy knit. Mm. And I bought 20 yards of fabric. And I bought that fabric that you're wearing now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, I'm going to make clothing with like a 50s flair to go with the scarves. And that's what I did. I made a Bordeaux top, a high-waisted skirt that you can fold the waist down and make it a mini. I made t-shirts. I made tank tops. And I did a full-size run. I started at size large, and I went to a 4XL. And I made myself one, and I made Calvin one, a
yeah,
top.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And nothing sold. Nothing went anywhere. Hmm. And I made it for summer. And I also made a bunch of stretch lace t-shirts.
Yeah.
Because again, my design aesthetic, my wardrobe ideas for a plus size body is not to hide your body.
Yeah.
It's to expose it because I feel like if you normalize it enough, no one will have an issue with it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Exposure therapy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And none of it sold. I was going to pop-ups, none of it sold. I was trying to share it online, none of it. Nobody was really biting. So I felt like maybe I'm not supposed to be chasing this dream. So my depression came back. And then the following year, as I was sitting on all this product that I was making myself, I make everything myself. I sew everything. I buy the material myself. I make the patterns. You know, I taught my sister how to sew and how to cut. And she was helping me for a whole year. We both worked together before I started school. And the next thing was to start a GoFundMe account to try to raise more money because nothing sold the first time around. I'm like, maybe I'm designing the wrong things for people. And mind you, I'm designing for myself, not for a crowd of people, but I'm like, maybe they don't like the fantasy I'm selling. And it took it really harshly because my identity was on the line, you know?
Yeah.
And so I decided, okay, so I'm going to start a GoFundMe account. I'm going to try to raise money and see if I do raise enough money, try to get to know a client and who I could sell to. And so I did that, and that opened a lot of doors for me with the GoFundMe, and that was amazing, and it was life-changing, and I never thought it would open so many doors. And I told myself, well, if it opened that door, and I got awards to go back to school, because I dropped out 13 years ago when I went to FITM, because I did not feel accepted or wanted there for being a plus-size, beautiful man. So I thought, maybe I'm going to quit that and just work retail, and I was so unhappy working retail. So unhappy making the man money,
yeah.
You know, with commission and all that. I was so unhappy doing that, but I was so great at it. I have a lot. Most of my following are customers that I worked with that I helped dress, and so everyone said, "You have something, you know, and if you can design it better, do it." And so I got tired of making other people money, and I left working retail because my district manager pulled me aside, told me that I offended a customer. A cisgender white woman that was there with her son, who was a toddler. And Calvin came in to visit me at work. And I gave him a big kiss on his cheek and a hug. And that made her feel some type of way. Wow. And she reported me to corporate. And I, mind you, was making 21% working part-time for this boutique of their sales. Mm. 21%. And I'm only working part-time.
Right.
So Mama was making bank for them. Mm-hmm. I was 21% of their annual sales.
I mean, you were the best. You were the top seller.
Top seller, yeah.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even a full-time manager. I was just a part-time supervisor. Mm-hmm. And so I was really angered by it, and I was very upset. And I said, if you're not going to fight for me being one of your top sellers, then I'm going to take my gifts somewhere else. And I left that job to go work another job that did not work out. I got fired from that. 2 years of depression. Seek professional help. And I did. And then started working on projects that didn't really go anywhere. But I wasn't defeated yet. I wasn't going to give up right away. Because it's hard. It's always hard in the beginning. Always hard for everybody.
Yeah.
So I decided to do the GoFundMe account, and it opened, a door. And I'm like, well, if it opened that door, how far can I get with what I'm doing? You know, eventually you want to get to a point where I can manufacture my own plus size and just vent off. But that's a long way from now. So I said, okay, the next step is to go back to school. I want to build more confidence as a person, as a professional, but also as a designer. And so I'm back in school for that. And I've been working on costumes for people that aren't plus size. I've been working for very famous drag queens. I've worked on a couple of I can't really announce about who they are now,
right?
But later you'll see them on my social media once the stuff airs,
right?
You'll see
once what it safe. Is.
But I've been working on a lot of special projects that I never thought I would ever work on, and it's just a constant reminder that the more you want something, and the more you want to obtain those things using the law of attraction, it works, it happens, it's real. Mm-hmm. And I'm physical proof of that.
Yeah.
And we practice it all the time in our relationship. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why I'm in school now. And mm-hmm. I'm 34 years old and I'm back in fashion school. Mm-hmm. I went 13 years ago, I dropped out, and I'm back. And so going back to school is extremely challenging for me, as it is for anybody. But I'm like, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not young. I felt very self-conscious about going back to school. And as soon as I stepped into that campus, I was not received with a positive, energy. Mm-hmm. My first instructor was a piece of shit. He's still working there. And he was teaching our class how to identify a woman from a man. And that really made me upset. He was telling us if a woman has broad shoulders, that is a man. And so I pulled him aside and I'm like, why are you teaching us about gender? This is not a gender studies class. This is not a gender identity class. This is a fashion sketching class. You're supposed to teach us how to sketch, fashion illustrations and flats, and that's it.
Right.
And we would argue all the time. For 2 weeks, I put up with him. And for 2 weeks, he kept calling two transgender women in my class, he and him, and you're a man. So that triggered me. That was the last straw that I could deal with and take. So I pulled him aside. I gave him, I talked to him and he yelled at me and I yelled back. I'm like, fuck this. I'm out. If this is the way this industry is going to treat me when I correct someone for, misconstruing someone else's identity, this is not for me. Fuck this. I'm better than this. So I had to call him. Thank the Lord there was a health center on campus with a therapist, and I was bawling. I felt so defeated. I felt so vulnerable going back to school. Mm-hmm. And then for this to happen within the second week, I felt so defeated, and I felt like there was no place for me there. Again, like I did when I was at FITM. And I talked to the therapist that was there. I was crying, I was bawling, I was so hysterical. And he sat me down, he calmed me down, and he's like, let's talk about feelings. What are you feeling? What triggered it? What happened? And I told him what happened with the instructor. And he said, well, if you can't drop the class because you're already in the second week, because you're in already and I already paid for it and you're locked in the second week, how about you ask your counselor if you could transfer to a different class? Mm. And I was like, oh, that's possible? And he's like, anything's possible. And that's what I did. And guess what? I transferred to the best drawing teacher.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
By default, by accident. Mm-hmm. And he is an amazing person. His name's TJ Walker. Mm-hmm. He's the founder of Cross Colors. Mm-hmm. And in his class, and they're having a resurgence right now. They're coming back. Mm-hmm. And in his class, he said, if you have your own identity, if you have your own vein of doing things, I don't want you to change. I want you to perfect that. And he really inspired me to continue to go and keep going. And I was, I mean, I'm in love with him and he's amazing.
Yeah.
And he also feels the same way about me too. And I have to remind myself, these people believe in me for a reason. Even on my darkest day, I still have to get up, get out of bed, get dressed and go to school. They believe in me and they're holding me accountable. And it's only to change my future. You know, if these people didn't care about me as much as they did, I don't think I would be in school.
Right.
But I'm still in school because I want to learn more. I'm hungry. I want to learn more. I want to become better. Essentially going from like ready to wear that we're wearing now. I want to become a evening designer for plus size. And none of it's going to have gender. It's going to be very fluid. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be embellished. It's going to be expensive and it's going to be amazing. And I want to dress all of my plus size beautiful people in California. But besides, you know, before then, I also want to dress a lot of stars as well. I want to dress as many people as I can because it's not about modifying your body to please everyone else. It's about finding what makes you happy and finding the right things that make you happy to dress yourself.
Yeah, totally.
And I unfortunately am very fortunate for having a skill to sew and I could, you know, make myself things to wear.
Yeah.
I could sell them. And not everyone has that skill, but eventually I want to get to a point where I can actually also have a plus size how to sew to YouTube tutorial channel. Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. So for those people that can't afford to go out and find things like we are able to find in this, where we live, they can build their own. You know, and my mom and grandma are always saying, like, stop telling everyone, you know, your skills or your ideas. Stop telling them your ideas. But at the end of the day, there's so many ideas in my brain. You know, I'm only giving them a tidbit. I'm only giving them one sprinkle.
Yeah. Right.
You know, of like the dessert.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah. So that's what I want to do eventually. I want to get to the point where I can teach you how to sew.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I've, listening to your story that I've heard is the not giving up aspect of it.
Yes.
And just sort of always just going for it and being yourself. I just watched... The Gospel According to Andre, the Andre Leontali documentary.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
and again, he, you know, black man, like 7 feet tall, like nothing like anybody has ever seen in the lights of he worked at interview, he worked at Vogue, and he just did it.
Yeah.
You know, like he never gave up. I'm sure he hurt a whole bunch of shit.
Definitely.
A whole bunch of people.
For sure.
And he didn't let that stop him.
Well, if you're not pissing people off, what are you doing with your life?
Right.
And I think people love to tell other people that whatever it is they're thinking they want to do, they can't do. I don't know what that's about.
I don't know what it is either.
Well, it's about jealousy and insecurity for on their part.
Because they think they can't do it. So therefore, they're like,
or they're threatened, maybe.
Yeah. Threatened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think it's all that. It's all that. And we're in our society here, we're all taught to express when things we don't agree with. You know, because of reality TV, because of pop culture.
Right.
We're taught to express when things aren't right or when things are wrong or they're not okay. And it took me a long time to realize, actually, no, that's not right. Like, what really matters is how you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, you know, 1,000 pounds and you feel amazing and your doctor said you're fine and you're healthy, who gives a shit how much you weigh?
Right.
You know, so for a long time, Calvin and I were saying, instead of I'm saying... winning, because I wasn't going to give a cisgender man the right to, like, you know, have that hashtag over my life. We were talking about gaining.
Oh, yeah, we were like, doing gaining.
Whenever you gain a pay raise, that's a good thing.
It's a gain. Okay.
Whenever you Gains gain a new lover, that's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Whenever you know what I mean? Yeah. So gaining is not a negative thing.
Yeah, you gain confidence.
You gain confidence. It's respect. A good thing. Yeah. And so we always be like, we're gaining. Like, that's our thing. Like, we would always, you know, hashtag gaining. And so we would always drop this hashtag and we would just laugh about it. But we also speak in memes.
Yeah.
You know, we also talk GIFs. In like GIFs.
Yeah.
You know,
internet
and
like, jokes.
Yeah. Okay. And that's how our relationship, I think, we keep it positive and fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's by just playing, being playful back and forth. But it's also not identifying with society.
Yeah.
Living in our own little bubble.
Right. Yeah.
My world really is living like over the rainbow. And I know it sounds really cliche, but it really is. And I'm very fortunate for allowing myself to live in this colorful land that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to get here, but a lot of people have always told me, like, you know, the world isn't filled with like bubblegum, you know, puppies and kitties and rainbows and unicorns. And I'm like, But my world is
okay. And there's nothing wrong with yard.
Like, yeah, there's rainbows.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know?
No.
Correct.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Like, if you're living this amazing fantasy, live it. Mm-hmm. Who? Thank you. Who are the people to judge and tell you not to?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Thank you. And that's kind of like how I'm helping Calvin also live his life and his professional life.
Yeah. I was like, it took me a while to get where I'm at right now. Like, being confident as a just a queer man of color.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, also gained a little bit of weight within the past few years because of comfort, and we're both really happy together.
Nesting.
Like, you know, just like, so once you got that part down, it's like, you're like, oh, I'm gonna
eat
everything.
Very, like, you know, self-conscious of his weight. Yeah. And I'm like, but you look fine.
Right. Oh, I've got, as long as
you look good.
Okay.
You feel good. you know, you're not unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really face any physical challenges.
True.
Like, the weight is just a highlight, girl. It's to fill that ass even fatter.
Yeah, like, I always say I win dad bod of the year, like 2016, 17,
18. three-time winner.
I'm a three-time winner.
Yeah.
I'm coming back for, like, you know, 2019. I'll be there.
Yeah, and so we both have dealt with a lot of things, like Andre being told that we're not good enough, or that we don't have the college education.
Mm-hmm.
Or not masculine enough.
That's my favorite one.
To fit certain gender roles or society types. But none of that really makes any sense, because we didn't apply those rules to our lives.
Yeah.
The others did.
Right.
And that's scary to me, because I'm like, how can someone dictate someone else's life when you know nothing about that person?
Mm-hmm. But we do it all the time.
We do it all the time.
We let people don't even know our personality or, like, our actual selves. They just see what's on the outside.
Yeah.
And we let them, like, tell us who we should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's, it's so damaging.
Yeah,
it's so damaging to continue to live that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, long story short, you know, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't listen to others.
If they ain't paying your bills, pay them no mind.
Yeah. One thing that I want to ask you about is DragCon, because I know you were there in May.
We were there.
How was that?
He was in there.
Back to my original story about none of my stuff selling from the first time around.
Yeah.
We met a friend named Jess for Bikini, who makes these keychains.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we shared a table at Fat Chella.
Yeah, where we
that
met
was
you.
My first time. Right. That's where we met each other.
Yeah, we met each other.
That was my first time going into anything plus size friendly and body positive. I was very nervous.
Yeah.
I think
Fat Chella is also what, like, started.
It's Fat Chella,
yeah.
I was very nervous. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. I knew that I love Jenna Marcy and Jessica Hinkle.
Yes.
So I love them. Mm-hmm. They reached out to me. I love these ladies. They are incredible. They saw something in me and my brand that they wanted to, you know, share their
story
with and highlight. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did. I went. We both went, and we didn't know what we were going to expect. We didn't know how much of a big deal it was going to be.
But it was epic.
Yeah.
It was epic proportions.
And we were both, Jess and I from Bikini, were placed on the outside of the store.
Mm-hmm.
Away from all the action.
Mm.
But bitch, we made all the money.
Okay.
And then Marcy after it all happened, she's like, hey, did you make any money? I'm like, yeah, I did. How much? And I'm like, oh, a couple dollars. Bitch, I walked away with like $400 or $500.
Nice. All right.
It was like, we made all the money. I was like slinging all the clothes.
And I discounted a lot of the stuff because I was selling it at a, there's three tiers when you vent. There's the first tier is pop-up, retail, and wholesale. And so obviously the pop-up sale is a little discounted rate.
Mm-hmm.
And the wholesale is even a bigger discounted rate than that.
Yeah.
The retailer is actually when you mark things up and you're paying retail price because you're paying for everything, the overhead, you know, employees and all that stuff. So I sold a lot.
We sold a lot. We sold party. Too much stuff.
We made a lot of connections, a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And we met you guys.
Obviously. Yes.
You were the first people we saw.
Yeah.
You greeted us.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I walked up in my pink skirt. Yeah,
my black.
You guys. Because
you were looking amazing.
Thank you. I know. We were like down the street.
You were.
Chilling.
Yeah.
Nervous.
Yeah.
We were nervous.
So was I.
We had just started the podcast and we were kind of making our debut and we were super nervous. We walked up. We were greeted by you guys. We're like, oh my God, we love your outfit.
It just felt like family. I mean, you guys like walked up. Totally. It was like we'd never met before, but it was like old
friends. Felt like we had. Exactly.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, first and foremost, we're all queer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We all express ourselves with color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys are very alternative looking. And so are we. So we walked up, it was like, oh, We come from the same
here.
We come from the same tribal type.
Yeah. You know?
Same tribe. So I was like, ooh, we found our tribe.
I know.
And so it was really nice. It was really cool. It was an eye opener for me. And I felt so loved that day.
And same.
I have not felt that with a community of people in a while. Normally when you go to gay spaces, you get ridiculed and judged. And it is, you don't feel safe, which happens to us a lot.
Absolutely.
No. When I'm in public spaces, I get looked a lot. I get called, you know, a lot of profanity words a lot. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Because that's your life. That's your issue, not mine. Mm-hmm. And also I want to add that, and I say this a lot and I'll say it again. Your problems are your problems and not mine. Why are you making your problems my problems?
Correct.
Deal with them on your own. You know, but we forget that.
Yeah, people are constantly deflecting their issues on other people.
Yeah, we forget that.
And then we take it on.
Yeah, and then we take it.
It's like,
because we're just like, oh, well, this must be like, you know, this must be real, must be truth. Let me just add this on to like the baggage that I already have in my head to begin with.
Yeah, and don't stop doing that shit. It's so toxic. Like, I want to live a toxic free life.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
And
now.
I'm like, I have enough to deal with on my own.
Okay.
I battle with so much on my own already on an everyday basis. Mm-hmm. You know, people always want me to work on special projects for them. And most of the time, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But guess what?
Winging it.
You fake it till you
just
make
it.
Exactly.
You have to.
Yeah. It all takes practice, and practice does make perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, I always revert back to food because of plus size queen over here. I always say, your first try, it's like making the first pancake. Mm-hmm. It always looks not so cute,
right?
But then by the third one, girl, you are a professional pancake flipper. Okay. You know what I mean?
And the flapjacks for everybody,
right? They're looking cute.
So I always say, like, three is one of my favorite numbers. Even when I was a child, I would pick my family buy me things in three, and as an adult, I still buy things.
I was like, not much has changed. I had to be like, you don't need that in every color. Put it back.
I need it in every color. I really do. There's a purpose for everything I have.
Yeah.
Even if it's, you know, tchotchkes in the 50s and 60s that I collect, all that stuff inspires me, and it creates a really happy atmosphere in my home.
Environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why I said when we walked in, I noticed the walls being red and the painting being primary, and it just felt like home because I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it just feels like sitting in one of our living rooms.
Yeah, every room in my my apartment is painted a different color.
Love it.
And I got the idea from watching a lot of Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So my house is very Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse, but it's the queer version of it.
Okay.
Yeah,
and definitely. I'm also very inspired. Oh, my God. These people inspire me so much. Seth Bogart and Peggy Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're so incredible. They're such an amazing artists.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys know who they are?
I don't.
No.
So Peggy Nolan is an artist. She's also a designer. She is based here in L.A. And in where else, Kevin?
L.A. and also in... Oh, she's about to kill me. I don't think it's Virginia.
No, it's not.
It's not Virginia?
No, it's Kansas City.
Kansas, there we go.
I just remembered.
There we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Casey.
You're right.
Because that's where our friend Brock is from.
Yeah.
And he's also another ray of fucking rainbow. And
he's a ray of sunshine.
He's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, you've seen his photos with us partying all the time.
Okay.
We always look like we're going to the same party accidentally.
Okay.
Because it's like we live off the same, like, wavelength of color.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was like, we live in the same town. She's just down the street.
She's just down the street, covered in fur, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, Peggy Nolan and Seth Bogart. Seth Bogart is the singer from Huntsman is Punks. He has his own project as well.
Okay.
And we're friends.
Yeah.
We're friends with both of them. And they're both amazing queer artists. And they've inspired me, and they literally built, like, you have to go to the Wacky Wacko store off Sunset. Like, it's covered in fur.
What is it? Wacky?
Wacky Wacko.
Wacky Wacko.
Oh, Wacko on.
No, not Wacko.
No, Wacko.
Oh,
so okay.
But Wacky
Wacko. And so Wacko. I have this thing where I like to go to things that are, like, spaces that are themed, right? And art. Like, I love galleries. I love pop-up things. I love curated spaces. And so Peggy does that to her store. She not only draws and paints on clothing or prints. You know, she like comes up with prints and then they print those on fabric or t-shirts and dresses and all that stuff. But they also, she covers the walls and floors with paint. So the entire thing is painted on and it's always different themed. And so she honestly inspires me so much to get to her level, you know, and she's well known and respected. And she's worked on a lot of costumes and projects, like for Coachella, the Sonora stage this past year, she was able to hire all her friends to go paint the entire thing from head to toe. And they painted the whole thing and it was amazing.
That's sick.
It's really fucking cool. And she also made a bunch of costumes for Sia.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Okay.
For her performance.
Okay.
So I'm like, tour. I want to get on that level where I can, right? Yeah, work on these, you know, amazing projects to fund your own projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's how I'm an artist, and that's how I want to fund my own projects.
Right.
Even when I work for the industry, I want to work, you know, like a regular 9-to-5, but I still want to fund my own colorful stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm a plus size queer person that is allowed to live their true colors and living this rainbow-licious life,
mm-hmm.
and making this space for everybody. You know, I want kids in the future to be able to wear whatever they want.
Right.
Yeah.
And I want them to be able to identify with, like, the things that, you know, they want to identify with,
right.
and who they want to represent. And I want them to feel safe. I don't want them to feel like Calvin and I do, where we go to some spaces where we don't feel so safe sometimes.
Right.
And
but
we have to leave right away.
You have to just, like...
But yeah, you have, again, you have to wear your confidence on mm-hmm. your sleeve.
Absolutely.
You know, and if someone says something, don't take it to heart. Just... let it fly over your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're dealing with something that's
yeah.
not a problem.
And I tell everybody, not everybody has to like you. Yeah. You have to just like yourself and that's it.
Exactly.
So
you're like, I like me. Yeah. That's all that counts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't need approval anymore. I don't need approval in my life. And honestly, I think it's because I have an amazing support system.
Mm-hmm.
I have supportive friends. I'm around a lot of love. And for me, love is the most important thing that I could ever... It's even more valuable than money to me. Money means nothing to me. Like, love is what I live for.
Right. Like, you're rich right now.
Yeah, I'm rich in love. Like, that's my favorite. That's all I need in life.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need. I have great friends. I have a great partner. I have a great family. You know, and that's all I could ask for.
Everything else is a bonus.
Everything else is a bonus.
Yeah.
Everything else is a bonus. And, it, you know, it's been happening for both of us for a few years now where things are just falling into place.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we're allowing it. We're letting the multiverse to take care of it and take care of us.
The DragCon.
Yeah. Okay, so back to DragCon. Sorry. Sidetrack.
I was like, DragCon.
Okay.
Side note.
All right, so DragCon. Thank you, Calvin. See, Calvin is my Emily.
Yeah.
And now Miranda Priestley.
I'm like,
he always,
the question.
I'm like, Calvin, what's her name again? And he's like, that is...
I'm like,
so
that's a
so
pop star.
So.
I was like, she's, it's like, make friends with her.
Whenever we go to parties, famous people always come up to me and I'm like, who are they? And he's like, that's so and so.
Emily, it's a Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, no, I'm like, that's what that is. I was like,
yeah, like we met.
Like, they're very rich.
What was her name that we met that way?
Oh, was it Anne-Marie?
Anne-Marie
recently.
Oh. We met Anne-Marie. Now, I
wait, Anne-Marie or Anne-Marie?
Anne-Marie.
Okay.
Yeah, we met her. She's a up-and-coming pop star.
I'm kidding. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. No. Again, Calvin and pop culture are best friends. Okay. Caesar and pop art are the best of friends. So yeah, we met a pop star at a party and
nice.
At Summer Trap.
And she wanted to take a photo. And I'm like, I don't want to take a photo with you, Calvin.
And I was like, yes, we will take a photo.
And I'm like,
get
okay.
ready, say cheese.
Yeah. I'm taking a picture right now.
And she was living for me and like she added me on Instagram and everything. I thought she was really
awesome.
Sweet. Yeah. And
she's gorgeous in person too. Like,
yeah.
But that's what happens in our relationship.
She's fucking
gorgeous. I'm very careless. You know, it doesn't matter if you're famous, rich, or whatever, or nothing. If you don't have anything, I just, if you're nice to me, I'm going to be nice back.
Okay.
I'm always just like, I'm like, yeah, that's not important that they're famous, but I'm like, clientele.
Exactly. Right. Networking.
Right.
We're
networking.
So
I'm like,
Calvin is the business side of my brand. And I'm the creative director.
Got it.
I'm always like, did you bring business cards? I'm like, did they know your email address? Like, do they know this?
Like, are we on time? What are we bringing?
Yes.
Do you have everything prepared? Do you pack the night before? Did you do your checklist? And I'm like, no.
I'm
what
like,
are you waiting for?
It's like, why are we not doing
Calvin
that?
Is always like keeping me together. So he's like my manager.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
And with DragCon, we were at Fetchella, going back to our original topic.
DragCon.
We were at Fetchella, we met Jess, we shared our booth with her, and we made money.
Yeah.
And, I was like, wow.
It was amazing. It was such an amazing experience because there were so many people and they were just like hungry just to like buy merchandise, like buy like
they
actual
They were starving
like,
and I was serving it.
Merchandise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so nice. It was so beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Like it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Like everyone's so positive. Everyone was so like loving and they were just like amazed. Like they would come up and see Caesar stuff and it was like, that's amazing. I want it now. I don't care what it costs. Give it to me.
And I was like, did you upsell it? No, I'm kidding. I was just like, cool. You want it? I was in shock. I'm like, grow, take it. You want two? I'm going to get two for a cheaper rate. You know, I was like, take it.
Yeah, two for 20.
Yeah. And so that was a very beautiful experience for me. I felt very loved that day. I felt like there was a room for me, like there was space for me in this industry, and there was, I found my clan of people. Well, I don't want to use clan, that's scary. I found my tribe of people.
There you go. I like that better. Yes.
It's scary. Yes. I found my tribe of people.
Yeah. And it was, and oh wait, and the best part is all that stuff that did, that he didn't sell when he made the first collection, all of it sold.
Wow.
Right. All of it sold.
All of it sold.
It's all gone.
And then we went to DragCon because we met Jess, and Jess was like, I got a table. Okay. And I wasn't going to go to DragCon. I wanted to, but I wasn't going to go.
It was so expensive. We were going to do it with like three other vendors, and we're going to just get a booth. And that was like, what, $800?
$800 for a booth for the weekend. It's expensive. And actually, that's what happened to Proud Mary, Jessica Henkel. She bought a booth, and the first day she made no money. So I said, hey, I'm going to go and remerchandise your store.
But Mama Caesar went over there and switched some stuff around.
Got it together.
Yeah,
she was like, no, we need to turn this around.
That's the thing that I love to visually communicate. Mm-hmm. And I do that very well. And so if I see my friend that's struggling and they're amazing to us, I'm going to be amazing in return. So I helped a bitch out. Mm. And I went and remerchandised her whole booth. And right then and there, she was making money.
You weren't even done. Yes. You weren't even done rearranging it. And she was already like getting sales.
Yeah, she was. Awesome.
But yeah, it was nice. I was like, but we were like selling a lot too. Like we made like what, $2,000? Almost
$2,000. So before DragCon, I'm like, what do I take? I only have, because of the fat cello cell, I only have like so little to sell to bring with me.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me get some t-shirts printed. It's the easy thing and I can get done. It doesn't cost that much money. So I got some stuff done. And
the harness shirts?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The harness shirts. So awesome. This is why I made them. I should have brought you some. I would have.
We still have some.
Give me your dress and I'll mail
them to you. We'll bring them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
Give me your dress and I'll mail them to you.
Okay.
Okay, so I was sitting there with Jess, right? From Bikini. And I was like, what should I print on a t-shirt? Like, I love the idea of printing Baby Slut by Titus Andromedon, which I did. And I'm like, that one's a for sure. And then there's a very famous and well-known like fat bitch t-shirt. So yeah. I'm like, I want to do that too, but I'm going to change it to make it more Caesar. And I did because I'm a fat bitch and I'm proud. Mm. And then also I'm like, what else should I do? I wanted to do like four different styles that I could sell. And so we were sitting there and I was talking about like, I love harnesses, but they're not really plus size friendly. But I was like, what if I put them on a t-shirt? And I'm not the first person to do this. You know, this has been around for a while. I'm not the first designer to like think about this idea.
Right.
However, I decided to place it in the proper place, not too high, not too low, so that when it's on your body, it looks like a harness.
Got it.
And the idea came from when Beth Ditto did that collection. Made that design t-shirt with Gautier to try to make money to fund her own brand.
Okay.
Remember that corset? Sort of number.
Vaguely, yes.
It was like an oversized t-shirt with like a boostie on the outside.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, I like that idea. I want to not copy that, but take inspiration from that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what if I just put a harness on the outside of a t-shirt and call it my leather daddy t-shirt?
Cute.
And then Jess is like, I want a leather mommy t-shirt. What would you do? And I'm like, a bra outline of a leather harness. And she's like, I love that.
Yeah.
So that's how the leather daddy and the leather mommy were born.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And
those were top sellers.
Me being extra, I wanted them in black and white. So, and I sold everything.
I love it.
Everything
I sold
from everything. Berets to it like, was,
yeah, oh. We made $2,000. I did not expect. I wanted just to make my initial like $700 back from spending money on the booth fee
right.
And spending money on t-shirts and getting them printed. But we came back with surplus. We came back with more.
Made some coins. Made some paper. Coin.
Made all the
and
paper.
And so I'm like, maybe cons is where it's at for us.
That's what I was like, maybe
and
this is it.
People that were selling apparel on our aisle weren't doing really well.
But they also weren't like what I always tell people, like if you're doing a pop-up, you have to engage. It's a very engaging thing. Like you can't sit there and like, you know, have stank face and be like looking all salty because you're in the sun. Like you have to be like, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to have a good time. I want you to have a good time with me. Maybe buy some of the stuff.
Yeah.
You're like, well, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. We were selling apparel on the block where people were selling souvenirs.
Okay.
And they were selling posters and original art. Mm-hmm. And someone else had like kids apparel, like little patches and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And nothing that I was selling had anything to do with RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Everybody else had patches with all the queens or phrases, what they're known for. Nothing I had was RuPaul's Drag Race. It was just my stuff.
Okay.
And by the second day, we got cleaned the fucked out.
Yeah, we had to think of what to sell.
I had to go home and sew. I went home and had to sew.
Damn.
Because I had nothing to sell on Sunday.
I think we had like what? We had some nipple pin cushions and we had maybe some.
Yeah, I make these boob pin cushions I should have. I thought I didn't bring one.
Oh my God, I want one.
Yeah, I will bring you one.
I will find something to pin.
Yeah, I will.
So I can use my titty pin cushion. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I have my titty. God. Yeah,
it's and they were inspired by Miss Piggy because there's a little nude out there that I know wasn't done by Jim Henson or anything.
Of course it wasn't.
Right.
And it's like Miss Piggy nude, like it's her like felt boobies and nipples. They're so beautiful.
Yeah.
So I made a pin cushion that looked like that. That's and I true. Made them in different shades because hello, inclusivity.
Absolutely.
And I sold all of them except for one brown one. And that I was so happy. I was so happy. But and everybody wants realistic looking little kitschy things. But I think that one that I had left was a pink nipple and a brown boob. And no one could relate to that, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, but, I think everyone was buying like, oh, that's my nipple looks like that.
Of course, the pink ones and fair ones sold out first.
Okay.
And then the rest of them sold. But it was fun. Like, I like making things that make me smile. And yeah. If putting a, you know, making, I even want to make a testicle version of that pin cushion.
Oh.
And I want to add like... Mary Boo feathers to it, so like so sort of it looks like the hair, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I want one of those too. Mama, I got two wrists.
I have ideas, you know, like I have tons of ideas. Oh, I just need money, time, and sponsorship,
of course,
right.
To
of course.
Put this stuff together. And if I was able to manufacture it overseas, where it is a little more cost, you know, effective, mm-hmm. I could sell more, and I could have a website and like vend that way. But yeah. As of right now, it's pop ups,
right?
And if you follow me wherever I am. You can email me directly or you can contact Calvin or me.
Mm-hmm.
You can DM us and we will ship it to you as long as you pay the shipping fee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like one of our hats. Shipping
fee is fine.
It was amazing to get so much love with my berets that I made for that weekend.
Yeah.
They sold out. I had to go back home and sew more and I did twice. I did it on Saturday night and then
you did.
The night before. So Friday and Saturday night. And then we had people contacting us from Hawaii.
Oh yeah. Cause it was a girl. I was like, I remember I sold it to her. She was really cute. Sorry to remember your name. I was like, but yeah, I was like, she's really cute. She had green hair and she was in love. She was in love with Caesar's style, aesthetic, everything. I think Caesar went to the bathroom or something, so he wasn't around, but
I probably snuck away.
Caesar was constantly sneaking away, leaving me alone. But yeah, so I was like selling it to her and she like bought it. It was like a red one. And she was so
no,
obsessed.
It was black. I'm gonna have to correct it. It was black one, yeah.
Okay, it was black. Whatever. So I was like, she bought it. And so she wrote to me afterwards on Instagram after she left because she was from Hawaii and she's like, she lost it. She didn't know where she left. She don't know if she left it on a plane.
Aww.
She don't know if she left it anywhere. She was like, and I wanted to wear it so bad because she was graduating. She was like, I want to wear it for my graduation. For
and
my
she's
graduation
from Hawaii, picture. So there's nothing like that out there.
Correct. Yeah, she was like, there's nothing like this out here. She's like, I can't go buy another one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shipped it to her. I was like, you know, she had like a week to get it because her graduation picture, she got it right before graduation.
She got nice. It in a few days.
Yeah.
So like 2-3 days, I believe.
Which I was like,
she got her beret and she was just so happy and it made her look...
And she posted about it like together. 5-10 times.
Aww.
Yeah. So I really need to get on it and repost people that support me because I'm very blessed that people are also like my fantasy
mm-hmm.
and they want to wear it. And believe it or not, people don't want to buy black as much as we think they do.
Hmm.
They want to buy all the color.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they want to be seen.
I want to sparkle.
Yeah, yeah. But that to me, like, I was like, what? Like, it's I'm always shocked by the things that people like. You know, identify with are the things that they react to and the things that they like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I myself am still learning and growing my business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm perfecting my skill set and skill level.
Mm-hmm.
And during DragCon, we sold some of those ice cream t-shirts that I didn't sell before. And Miss Buffet, you know, this plus size drag queen came up, well, out of drag on Saturday.
It was Saturday, yeah.
And he bought Miss Buffet. If you're out there, girl, we shouting you out, Miss Buffet.
Shout out.
Amazing. That's an amazing name. It's Miss Buff, like Buff.
Oh, yeah.
Buff.
Yeah.
And her last name is Faye.
F-A-Y-E.
Okay. Oh, my okay. God, yes.
So it's Miss nice. Buffet. Ms. She's Buffet amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for supporting me, doll. And so she, he came as, you know, himself the first day.
Yeah.
And bought one of my ice cream t-shirts and bought a couple of t-shirts too and then said, Eureka O'Hara would love this. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure she will. I should probably drop some stuff off. And he's like, yeah, you should, you know. And then the next day, I'm like, I'm going to go to Eureka O'Hara's booth and drop off. Mind you, we met Eureka a year ago at Pride in WeHo. And she was very sweet, very kind, very loving. And, you know, I love my plus size queens out there. Like Lady Bear from San Francisco, Eureka O'Hara. You know, all the plus queens that are out there, I'm here for you. So if you ever want anything made, Little Recator, come at me. A bitch will help you out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, I will customize some stuff for you. And so Miss Buffet bought one of the ice cream teas and like a printed tea. And then I guess somehow Eureka got a hold of it. and snatched it from her and then wore it to LAX.
She was like, you thought this was yours.
Like,
it's
2 days
now.
Later. And then all my friends were like, bitch, Eureka has your shirt on. Oh my God, you made it. And I was freaking the fuck out. I was freaking out. I'm like, what? And they were telling me like stories and they were telling me like screenshots. And I was like, oh my God. So I went on it and I was like reposting it. And I was writing to her and I reposted it on Instagram. She didn't write back to me. But when I posted it on Facebook, she commented and wrote back.
Okay.
Nice. She
better. And I'm like, you remember me now, don't you? And that's what opened another door. I was able to right before her season ended.
Yeah, right
when it was aired.
Finale, yeah.
Right before the season finale, the weekend before she filmed a music video, and I was on her Instagram stories and I saw that she was looking for plus size people, and so I'm like, ooh, I'm plus size. Mm. You know, she's looking for everybody, like non-binary, cisgender, mm-hmm. you know, people of color, everything, mm-hmm. and so I sent. Mind you, I'm not an actor. I don't have headshots. Parker Day, this very famous photographer in LA, I don't know if you know who Parker Day is, took photos of me for a magazine.
Into?
And it was Into, yeah. That's, yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. She's wearing nothing but diamonds, girl.
Yeah, that's all I'm wearing.
I'm wearing nothing.
And so I sent just over those images. And of course, right away, they're like, we need you.
Yeah.
And I said, of course you do. So that's how I came about to be on her video. And mm-hmm. when I was there, Eureka was amazing to everybody.
That's so good.
Again, it was like Fat Jelly times two.
Okay.
That's how it felt, that video
that's
shoot.
Awesome.
And I was in it for several scenes.
Yeah, you were in several scenes, actually.
And I didn't know I was getting casted for several scenes. I just mm-hmm. thought, I don't know. They didn't tell me what to bring. They're like, just look beautiful and feel comfortable, and that's it. And mama, I was shining. I was glistening. Everyone was living. And that's how Eureka and I got each other's contact information. Mm. And me and Lady Red Couture also got each other's contact information.
Oh, Lady Red. Okay.
Nice. I love Lady Red.
I love it. I love her show. Look at her.
Yeah, look at her.
Look at her.
You know, hey, queen.
Look at her.
Shout out to Hey Queen, Johnny McGovern.
Yeah, we love your show. And we've actually visited Hey Queen.
Yeah, we went for one of the tapings of Hey Queen.
Oh, nice.
When Cynthia Lee Fontaine was on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was epic.
But then after that, guess who was aired?
Who?
Dita Von Teese, and I was salty.
Oh.
I would have gone for Dita.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Just to see her from afar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's also Libra too, though.
She's also Libra, yeah. So, I mean, that's how it all got started, you know?
Cool. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's how DragCon went. Yeah.
DragCon
was magical.
Yeah. So it's been a magical ride. I have paused my business a little bit because I'm in school and I'm dedicating my full time to that.
So that's what's happening right now.
Yeah. I'm taking school 6 days a week.
Okay.
I want to become an expert. You know, designer.
Yeah.
And we do have plus size mannequins, which is a plus at school.
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I had to fight and argue with the teachers because I wanted to do plus size collection.
Yeah, it was like the committee or something like that, the fashion committee or whatever.
There's a fucking fashion committee in that school. Mm-hmm. And I had to argue and fight to be able to do plus size for my exit, like collection.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing I had to deal with while I was in school. Then I felt defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Fuck their approval. I'm going to do it anyways.
Okay. Do it.
And so they decided that they're going to allow me. And I'm like, I don't need your permission.
I was going to do it anyway.
I was going to do it anyway.
It's already been done.
And their excuse was, we don't have plus size models. I'm like, but I do.
Oh, yeah.
I know plenty of plus size models.
Plenty. Okay.
Plenty. Like, you don't need to be a fucking model to wear my stuff. You don't.
No.
You just need to be comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
You need to feel confident in putting you in something wacky and fun. And you need to be, you know, to be able to walk for me. And if you can walk, that's all I need. I'm all about making designing clothes for non-binary people.
I love it.
All my stuff. I don't design it with gender.
Right.
I don't. Again, I design for a plus size body. And I want you to be able to show off and get comfortable with your body
mm-hmm.
more than before. So it's, you know, highlighting your body, making it, decorating it. It's what I call it. It's just decorating your body with fashions.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Definitely. Yeah.
So for those out there who want to decorate their body, where can they find you?
So they can find me on Instagram, on Caesar Cummings is my username. I also have a page for my clothing that I haven't really, really kept up, which I'm really bad at, but I will. I promise I will. So the spelling is C-E-S-A-R. Last name is C-U-M-M-I-N-G-S. I named myself after Johnny Ramone.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know his name was John Williams Cummings. And I wanted to name myself after a rock star because I'm a rock star.
Yes, perfect. You are.
So that's how I got my last name. And you can also contact Calvin
at Kim Cal Wong.
But it's Kim underscore Cal mm-hmm. underscore Wong.
Perfect. Okay.
And we do pop-ups very frequently.
Yeah.
I am going to start a website.
Cool.
I am going to update all my stuff. Again, everything I make is small order because I make everything myself.
Right. Yeah.
Everything's sewn by me. Yeah. Everything's defeated me at one point and I had to go back and redo it. Mm-hmm. So everything that you purchase from me is made by my hands.
Amazing.
You like blood, sweat, and tears.
My blood, sweat, and tears
have gone into these things.
Mm-hmm. Nothing that I've ever sold with my name on it has been made by someone else except for the printed tees. Mm-hmm. And that's why I sell them for so affordable mm-hmm. because you're just paying in a little fee for getting them made and getting them printed. But everything I make is made by my hands or Calvin. And
yeah,
Calvin knows nothing about fashion. Nothing.
I don't. Yeah.
And he really hates pinning, and I'm like, just pin for me.
You're just really good at following directions.
Yeah, yes. I can do directions. Yes. I was like, but even then, I'm like, pinning was such horrible work. I'm like, this is like, I feel like
it's labor. Hard. It's hard.
Even with the titty pin cushion?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had the pin cushion, but it was still hard pinning stuff.
Yeah.
I always have to figure out ways how to make things, even with wig styling, because I style wigs as well, mm-hmm. how to make things stand up without weight.
Right.
How to define gravity. And. Mm-hmm. There's ways out there and there's tricks, and that's why I love listening to my elders mm-hmm. because mama, they know all the tricks mm-hmm. of every trade.
Yeah.
So just listen to them.
Cool. Yeah. So we want to encourage everybody to check out Caesar and to support local talent.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I likewise, you guys, I'm again, so blessed. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Like really, you. It's been an amazing conversation.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's so much fun to learn, you know, how everything started, how you guys met, and just know that the door is always open here at Cheat Day.
Thank you.
And we would love to have you back.
Oh definitely.
So clearly we can talk for
hours.
20 hours.
Yeah, but yeah.
Like, and keep us posted about pop-ups because we would love to tell the audience where they can find you guys. Definitely.
I always post, during my life stories, I always post like Instagram stories and stuff, but I am not a huge like IG savvy person.
Okay.
And I find it like an unwanted chore. Yes. To do it.
Sometimes, yes.
Do you guys feel the same way too?
Yes.
It's.
I think more so than Frankie. Frankie's like more on top of it.
But you know what? It's also discouraging when you post something that like is so dear to your heart and no one likes that shit.
Yeah.
Like, but then you post a fucking selfie. Yeah. Then I post a fucking selfie of me looking busted as fuck, and everyone's like 200-300 likes, and I'm like, why?
They're like living.
Why?
Living.
Yeah. So I guess I have to be
a little more
on it. Yeah. But again, I'm very open. You can communicate with me very easily. Hit me up. I'll talk to whoever back.
Perfect.
If I have time and I'm free, I will do whatever you request. Or if you want to buy something from me, I'm going to sell more. I'm going to start a little. I don't want to do Etsy because I want to keep all my profit.
Yeah.
Like, I want to keep the money.
That's fair.
Yeah. Because everything's made by me and, you know, everything's made by these hands.
Yeah.
So I will start a site, very easy site. Calvin will help me with it.
Yes, I will. I will.
And Calvin will manage it for me.
Yes, I will. I will manage it for
and,
you.
And we're going to start mailing stuff out. So that's the goal by the end of this year is to have all that up. All of it together, making small batches of the stuff I make. And if you get it, when you get it, you got to want it hot because I don't like remaking things.
Okay. So one of a kind.
One of a kind.
Yeah, Caesar also doesn't like leftovers.
Yeah, that was my sample. And actually, I had no one to sample it for me. I just made it. And if it's perfect. You're
sampling the shit out of it
right now. So I have, you're wearing a sample. So it looks amazing on you and it actually hits where I wanted it to hit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to create more of this little skater girl style mesh dress.
Yeah. It's so cute.
Yeah. Thank you.
So cute. I love exposing my body.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
You know, so.
I love being naked all the time.
Yeah, Caesar's naked about 95% of the time.
I love being barefoot. I sew barefoot. There's glitter and pins all over the apartment.
Oh, my God. No, dangerous.
Yeah. That is dangerous.
Not for him. I've never gotten stuck before, and Calvin is like a human.
If there's a pin cushion on the floor, I'm going to find it.
Yeah.
He's a magnet.
I'm a magnet. Magnetic personality.
Yeah.
Not just for people. For pins.
For pins.
All right, y'all. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We love you guys.
Love you.
I hope you guys enjoyed a little time together.
We did. Awesome. Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll keep designing for everybody.
Yes. All right, guys. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Make sure to rate us and leave a comment. We hope you guys come back next week. But in the meantime, you can go to our website at CheatDayPodcast.com. And you can find us on Twitter and the Insta at Cheat Day Podcast.